Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life in New York City.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell, and welcome to Drama.
Yes, here we go.
It truly has been a while since we recorded.
I know.
Before Thanksgiving, and now today we sat down and I'm like, how do you even do this?
I know, I'm like, what's happening? But it's so great. So much has been going on. Dylan, tell me the Golden Globes nomination.
I think that's the most pressing thing right now.
I
don't know if our guest is all up on film and television, but we need to just go off for a second. It's the best awards show other than the Tonys.
I agree.
It's just so much fun. It's very relaxed. As much as I've learned in recent years, the HFPA.
Yes, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Yes, God. They are really specific about trying to make it a fun show and get the good ratings, and that's why the nominees are often
like celebrities.
The really big celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, this is no shade to Lady Gaga a couple years ago during American Horror Story, but she won the Golden Globe that year, and they wanted Lady Gaga at their
award
show.
And they do like to, I think they like to find, like, the new show, like, the new thing that, like, you're not going to see shows that have been running for 10 seasons necessarily getting awards.
Yeah, when's the last time Grey's Anatomy was nominated?
I know. I think Sandra Oh won a Golden Globe for Grey's. I might be making this up.
Deservedly so in 2004.
I know. And then she won last year for Killing Eve and was not nominated for Killing Eve this year.
Okay.
But Jodie Comer was. That's drama.
That's a show that I don't watch.
I do watch it. Loved season one. Season two is all right. But great performances. It's really good. Now, there is a snub that
let's just mention. Since there's so much we could cover
with
that.
We'll talk like a few things.
Yeah.
I will say my wild card snub was that Chris Evans was not nominated for Knives Out, which I thought was a fun performance. And I'm a little bit surprised just because I feel like he is like a fun, hot celebrity.
I wonder if he's ever gotten a Golden Globe nomination.
No.
The sweaters didn't win everyone
over.
No,
he was also so hot in that movie.
It was fun to see him play a bad guy.
I know. That's great. Yeah. Right.
I thought it was interesting just the lack of nominations maybe, or, you know, there's the best musical or comedy category.
Yes.
The only musical type movie that was nominated was Rocket Man.
Oh, was Taron Egerton
was nominated, okay. And so was this new song they added in.
Oh, an Elton original.
An Elton original, which I wouldn't have been able to pick out of the batch.
Oh, okay, because I guess Knives Out would have been a comedy. You know what? My biggest snub is Lupita Nyong'o not getting nominated for Us.
Oh, she was incredible.
You know, you talk about like transformative performances, like, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, he's getting so much buzz about Joker and, you know.
Our guest is in agreement. We are all aligned.
And then, you know, Renee Zellweger is getting like huge press for her transformative performance in Judy, but I think like the most, you know, quote unquote transformative performance was Lupita Nyong'o. She played literally two roles in Us, which I don't think is a spoiler to say.
No, it was last March.
It was unbelievable, her performance.
Oh, it was so scary.
She's so great. So great.
She was amazing. You know, it's weird. I thought that horror might kind of creep back into the awards after Get Out a few years ago, but they didn't. I would say the closest thing to a horror / suspense film this year that is nominated, well, I don't even know if it's horror, but Parasite.
Oh, yes.
Did you see Parasite?
I feel like it was almost genreless in a lot of ways.
It was. I knew nothing about it going in.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
Wait, I just thought of a fun fact that I'm pretty sure is true. It's not a fun fact though. It's an upsetting fact. But an actress of color who's won an Oscar has never been nominated again, except for Octavia Spencer.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Does that track?
I think that might. I'm trying to think in my head because my mind immediately goes to Ms. Viola Davis.
Yes, she has not been nominated since Fences.
Okay.
Lupita won for 12 Years a Slave, has not been nominated again. This is the Oscars we're talking about.
What about Ms. Halle Berry?
Well, Ms. Berry, she.
Catwoman.
She hasn't really. Yeah.
I think it won a Razzie.
That's certainly an Oscar that was given.
Anyway, so go.
I know, but that's a sad fact. We'll have to fact check it. But I'm pretty sure it's true. It's sad. I mean, yeah. That doesn't stand for Golden Globes. But.
Okay. Yeah, going back to the Globes, I would say the only thing that I want to mention before we move on is...
I know, we've been like
Cats, the much buzzed about Cats movie, only got one nomination, which it was screened for the voters, and it was only nominated for original song, Taylor Swift was nominated with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Interesting. I thought I read that Cats was like missing the deadline.
They then held certain screenings to my knowledge. So really? I'm still very curious to see the movie. Everyone has an opinion on Cats, but
I know.
It, speaking of,
I think it's honestly, aside from my most anticipated film of the year, Little Women, I think that Cats is also something I'm excited about. It feels like an event in a way.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
You know, I don't know other movies that people are all like super curious about, and I think that's certainly one of them.
And then
Little
Women,
oh my God, I have to talk about it. I want it to win every award, and I haven't seen it yet, but I stan Greta Gerwig, Saoirse Ronan, Florence Pugh, who's a star, Timothée Chalamet. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and that's it's worth noting too that like the lack of female director nomination, like it's been said over and over again, but we will keep saying it until it isn't fixed.
I know.
It's insane.
And you'd think that Greta would have been nominated, perhaps even because of the buzz that happened last time. Remember, Natalie Portman was like the all male directors.
Yes.
And then Greta was nominated for an Oscar for Lady mm-hmm. Bird.
Arguably the buzz from the whole snub might have encouraged people to be like, oh wait.
I know.
But hey.
I know. Anyway, this is very like inside awards baseball. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
It's that time of the year. It's that time of the year. So anyways, okay. So going back to Cats, yes, we're talking about
an
iconic trailer. A new trailer dropped today for a movie that is going to be the event of summer 2020.
In the Heights.
Oh my God. It was like movie musical done right. We'll probably talk about it with our guest because he is nodding in agreement. It was stunning. The fact that I felt like every moment, every time the camera cut or something happened, it was to the beat.
Oh, so good.
So good. The musical is a top 10 one for us.
I had full chills the whole time. Mm. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
When Olga Merides turned around.
I know. I can't even talk about it.
You hear her for that iconic voice.
Oh, I know.
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so... Is she the only Broadway to screen carryover other than Lynn?
From the original cast? I think... I don't know. That would be something we'd have to look up.
I know.
But,
anyway, it's gonna be so good. I can't wait.
We'll probably talk more about it and watch the trailer over and over again.
I know.
As we head in.
Dylan, it's time.
It's time. We
I'm
need to bring
so
in our guest.
Right
He's
now.
Been sitting here wanting to jump in at many times. I can feel it. And this is a dream guest, I will say.
Truly.
Before we go into
like
this.
Like 14-year-old Dylan and Connor are shaking.
They're gagged. They don't believe this.
Oh, I know.
All right, here we go. So our guest today is one of the most sought out, respected, and thirsted after Broadway stars, and has been for more than the last decade. After debuting in the iconic original production of Spring Awakening, he subsequently starred in Broadway productions of Bye Bye Birdie, War Horse, The Book of Mormon, and we're all excited that he's going to be slaying in the upcoming revival of Company opposite Ms. Patti LuPone and Katrina Lenk. Yes, God!
Yes.
He's also been seen in The Barrow Street, Sweeney Todd, A Clockwork Orange, Jasper and Deadland, West Side Story, The Heart of Rock and Roll, and so much more. He iconically sang the role of Peter in the recording of Bear, a pop opera, a special one for me,
yes.
Has released multiple EPs and a solo album called Uncontrolled, which we'd supported financially way back in the day.
We did.
Oh
my God.
Fans might also know him as Jonathan, Eric Vanderwoodson's twink boyfriend on Gossip Girl,
yes.
Or as being the creator of the webcomic Dents. Please welcome to drama, Matt Doyle.
Oh my God. I wanted to jump in so many times there. I was like, but I haven't been introduced yet.
We're very strict.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yes,
you guys, thank
so
you so
excited.
Much for having me. What an introduction. I'm
my
overwhelmed.
My legs are shaking.
Oh my God.
I'm being crazy. No, we're so glad to have you,
I'm
Matt.
So happy to be
oh,
here.
This,
are you
this
kidding?
Is, this is really cool for us.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. Thank you, you guys.
Yes. Oh yeah. Well, you're helping us launch this thing. So we've only been running for a couple of weeks, and this is going to be a big one.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so excited. I love that you guys are doing this, and I love the whole idea, and here we are.
Here we are. Wait, did you watch the In the Heights trailer?
I did. I watched it today, like, maybe 25 times. I'm not even joking. And text everyone that I knew about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Paul Wontorek, who's at Broadway.com, and I were texting back and forth about it nonstop.
He is an icon.
Oh, I love him so much.
His hair.
Yes, his hair is iconic. Of course it is. Every time, he's a dear friend, and every time I, like, go out with him or see a show with him or something, all I have to do is just like look for the hair.
Yeah,
and
he's tall as
yes,
well.
Yes, he is very tall, and I'm just like, where is he? Where's the freaking hair? But we were both just like dying over it.
It was
I mean,
beautiful.
It looks perfect. Mm,
it
really
does.
Yeah,
they nailed it.
Yeah, yeah, and Anthony looks incredible in this.
So good.
He's so, so talented, and I'm so excited to see him do this.
Now I'm randomly like horny for Usnavi.
Anyway, yeah. we actually is like a gift or something. We got to see him do Usnavi in the Kennedy Center production.
You did? Oh, right.
Yes,
of course.
Because we love, you know, Vanessa Hudgens. It's much noted on this podcast. But
she was so good. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. She was good. The whole cast was good.
Yeah. I heard that production was incredible.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot that he did it there. Yes, he did. He was like a last minute step in, or they maybe cast him later or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be perfect in the movie. Fans have noticed on Twitter that he's not wearing the iconic hat throughout much of the trailer.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
Yeah, that's the only thing that, well, maybe we'll see what happens there.
I know. And I think there's like a new framing device with him telling the story on a beach. And like, why is he on the beach? I'm assuming that it's Puerto Rico. And like, I'm very excited.
I can't wait. Oh my God.
You obviously were on Broadway when In the Heights was on Broadway. Did you get to see the original cast?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Because when Spring Awakening was off Broadway, In the Heights had just kind of opened up off Broadway as well. Okay. And In the Heights actually almost ended up in the same season as Spring Awakening, which would have been insane.
Yeah.
And they ended up waiting and going the next season.
Yes.
And thank God, because I think that would have been like the showdown of the century. I'm not sure actually what would have won.
I had no idea that it almost came in early.
Yeah.
Because it was In the Heights versus Passing Strange that next year.
Right.
And it was Spring Awakening versus, well, I mean, it was already a crazy season.
Yeah.
Legally Blonde.
We had
Mary
Legally
Poppins.
Blonde. We had the Gay Gardens was there.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was a fun season, but we joked about it then, like, thank God In the Heights didn't come in, because it would have been a battle sure. Yeah.
Wow. Two phenomena.
I know.
Right?
I know. In the Heights was unbelievable. And your past guest, Krista Rodriguez, jumped from Spring Awakening to In the Heights. And she, I remember her talking about, like, I can't believe, like, who gets to be a part of these, like earth-shattering, show-changing, Broadway-changing shows. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I know. And just, like, two in a row like that. We were all very jealous of Krista that year.
Let's jump right into Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
Because this was, you made your Broadway debut. How old were you?
I was 19 when I got the job offer. Yeah.
What?
19 years old.
What did you even sing for that audition? Like, because you were the first replacement.
I was actually added into the original company.
Okay.
So, they decided that they needed an offstage cover specifically for Jonathan Groff, because they just had these swings that were doing way too much. So they wanted somebody to come in and just focus on being Melchior's cover.
Okay.
I did obviously learn everyone else, but like when I came in, it was learn Groff's role. You are the Melchior cover.
Okay.
So I was added in about like 2 months after they opened, and I had been auditioning for it for about a year at that point.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I didn't get the original Broadway company. Obviously, luckily they gave it to Robbie Hager, who was up for like the off Broadway company originally. And he'd been auditioning for it even longer than I had. So like it was his time to go in. And then they were like, we're undercovered. We need another one. So they added me into the company, which was unbelievable.
Wow.
But I mean, it was like on my radar, but not really. I was ready to go back to school. I had kind of like taken the summer and some time there, and I decided not to go to university. I was supposed to go to Carnegie Mellon, but I didn't.
Drama.
I did not know that. I knew because you went to Lambda for a year.
I went to Lambda for a year. Came back here, they offered me two more years, and so I was just like, and they said, you can come whenever you want. And I was like, well, I don't want to go to university and do the 4-year experience. I had gone to a graduate program, so it was just very odd to go from, like, literally my classmates in London were as old as, I think our oldest was 47.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, I don't know how to make that gear shift.
Yeah.
Like, living in London with Parisians and people from Iceland, and, like, I was the youngest in my program, and the next up was, like, 25.
Oh, wow.
And so then to just, like, jump back into like the 18-year-old like university experience. Yeah. I was like, I can't. So I said no to that and decided to stay in the city. And I was like ready to go back. And it was the last open call that I was gonna like attend, and sat on the non-equity benches for like 9 hours. Oh, finally got seen. And then went through about 7 months. I said a year, but it was just 7 months of callbacks. And finally got a call that I was being added into the company.
And the call, this is tracked in this video that Connor and I would watch you and it was Alexander Socha talking about what it's like.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Remember that, Dylan?
Mm-hmm. I remember that video. What was that on?
It was on Broadway World. Either Broadway
World or
Broadway.com.
Wait, as you're talking about it, I think I remember it.
It was just the two of us because we had she had just been added in at that point. And so we were like the main covers at that point.
That's so
funny.
You guys
are just sitting there talking about it and you've got the long hair.
Whoa.
And you're like, I was you were like at a commercial.
I was a production assistant. I've told this. I feel like this is like the story that I've told my entire career and will until I die. I was a production assistant for a Dawn soap commercial. And my dad had helped get me that job because he's in advertising. And I was the worst PA ever. Like ever. I was so bad at my job. And they were telling me, you know, to like go get coffee and hold the monitor and everything. And I remember the director was such a jerk and was like, so what? He didn't like me at all. I was a mess. I was clearly someone's son. Like, it was like, why is this kid here? And I remember him looking at me and he was so full of himself. Like, just like decked to the nines with expensive clothing and like this Cartier watch and everything. I was like looking him up and down like, ew, you think you're so important and you're not. And he looked at me and he was like, oh, you're an actor. And he said to my face in that moment, have you seen the show Spring Awakening?
Oh,
he goes, I just saw it the other night. Those kids are talented. And I spat out, yes, in fact, I've been up for the show, but you know, I haven't, you know, heard anything in a while. And like, I just looked like the biggest idiot, like trying to prove that I was legitimate.
Yeah.
And I think he thought I was lying because an hour later, I got a phone call on the set saying that I got the job. And I just like walked back onto the set. Everyone was looking for me. And I looked at him and I was like, I just got my first Broadway show. And he was like, you're kidding me. And I was like, yeah, I booked Spring Awakening. And he was like, all right, just go home. I'm still to this day not sure he believed me. Like, I think he might have been like, get this twerp.
You mean he didn't show up at the stage door?
Yeah, exactly. But I, and so I just like started crying.
Your life changed.
Yeah, it was a blizzard that day. So I remember like stomping through the snow after I left and like calling everyone.
And you were living in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, calling everyone on my like Razor phone or whatever I had.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. 2006? Yeah.
6 or 7.
Yeah. Yeah. 6 or 7. Yeah.
How exciting.
I know. It was so great. It was wild.
Was it a good experience?
Yeah. And no, yeah, I think even Michael would be like, yeah, that tracks, you know, if I said that to Michael Mayer.
It wasn't.
I learned a lot, but I've always said this, and I think everyone's very comfortable admitting this. I think Krista too. We were all monsters, you know, like we were just like kids thrust into this phenomenon and what felt like the biggest phenomenon ever, because Broadway hadn't had a musical like that in a while that was like literally flipping everything on its head. And so the egos across the board were kind of crazy.
Sure.
Mine included. I think I started and I was just a nervous wreck trying to impress everyone and swept up in all of it and just kind of like, I mean, 3 months after getting that job offer, I was on the Tony Awards with all of them. And and they were also, before I even went to work, I was fans of everyone.
Do you remember
know?
The Gap ad with everyone in the
And I remember like the controversy of the swings not being included in that ad. So like there was always just very childish drama backstage that you don't have that business perspective as a kid. Like, obviously the swings were not going to be included in that ad. But you know, when you're 19 or, you know, as young as 15, which was Jen's age, there was just very silly drama backstage always, and egos backstage. So we called it Eugene O'Neill High because it just was high school. It literally across
that
the board.
Makes sense. I mean, could half the cast even drink?
Like, no, and we did. Yeah. So like it was of course.
That's so
just
funny.
The underage drinking and the college. It was high school. Yeah. It was, and none of us. I didn't have a college experience, so I didn't get those awkward years. Everyone looks back on high school or college and has those years where they go like, ooh, I can't believe I did that. Or, oh my gosh, there are people out there that remember the worst about me.
Sure.
We were living that in a professional setting, you know? And it was just very, it was bizarre. It's bizarre to think back on
it.
And I don't say that with like negative feelings towards anyone, including myself. It's just like we all had to grow up with the highest stakes imaginable and in the strangest setting imaginable.
Yeah.
And luckily, what I will say is everyone kind of came out of that experience very unscathed and relatively sane, considering, you know, I think we've all been through it. But like, you think about all of us, like, we're all still working. That original group, still working.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
We're all still working, and we also all are very close. Like, if I saw anyone from that original group, not that I, like, keep in touch with everyone nonstop, but, like, if we see each other, there, it's something that I haven't experienced with any other group of, like, oh, we were there. And and we've also all had our, like, come to Jesus moment with each other of, like, hey, I'm sorry I did that, you know? And it's like, well, that's so stupid. That was years ago. But yeah, it was drama. There was
drama.
There was always drama at the Eugene O'Neill.
Oh, my God.
And it was always so stupid. Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course. Yeah. Just children thrust into, like, and also then to go through the second year experience where everyone was leaving for Glee,
right.
You know,
right.
Or TV shows, yeah. Or it was just so bizarre.
And then there was the new cast.
And the new cast, and I was like, I was left over, but I didn't take over for Melchior. I took over for Hans.
That was drama.
We were the guilty.
Yeah.
Us guilty ones were very upset.
I know
it wasn't
were.
A full-time Matt Kior.
I mean, it was so silly. I like. Yeah. I was so looking back. Of course, like, even just a year out from it, I was like, I cannot believe that I was even caught up in any of that drama to begin with, because I still took over a principal role on Broadway.
Yeah.
And it was like, how could I even, whatever, it's fine. But, you know, but it was strange because Sosha got bumped up to Venla and Gerard was Moritz. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just haunching, as if that's a bad thing.
Right.
Well, the story was they brought in Kyle Riabko.
They did bring in Kyle Riabko because they wanted to train him for the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then they needed, you know, what was told to me, and who knows, but what they needed a name of sorts, and so they ended up with Hunter Parrish from Weeds, who actually had the loveliest voice in the world.
Oh, he's got a beautiful voice.
I remember hearing his Left Behind and being like,
oh my God,
nice.
I know.
He sings on, he was in the Godspell Revival, and he has this if you listen to it,
it's like
singing
folksy,
Beautiful City.
Yeah, yes.
Godspell. It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. And he was a really lovely guy, and we're actually the same exact age, same birthday and everything.
What?
Really? May 13th, 1987. Yeah.
Oh.
So here was this guy all of a sudden from TV that I was like even sharing my birthday with. I was like, oh, come on. But no, he's a great guy. And it's all so like amazing to look back on now, because I'm very close with Michael Mayer now. I'm close with that cast. And I look back on the experience like it's just one of the most incredible things I was ever involved with. But yes, during the moment, it was drama.
I'm
always.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, there was always drama. Yeah.
We were obsessed. We would watch all these like backstage videos. I remember there was one where you guys all talked about, it was like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Were you in that one? Were you in the cast at the time?
I was in the cast at the time, but because I wasn't in the principal cast yet, they didn't include me in that. I'm not, it's all right.
I remember they were like all like, it was very candid.
Oh yeah.
Because you know,
I know.
Spring Awakening also happened right before. For social media was,
and it was
like everywhere.
Yes.
So that was where we got our
Remy Zakin, you know? Introduced me to Twitter, and it was in the second year of Spring Awakening, and she was like, yeah, this thing Twitter, and I didn't know what it was because I was out with Blake Daniel and Remy, and we all saw a movie together, and this weird account that there's rumors that like Jen Tepper was running it. I have no idea.
Jen Tepper, show yourself.
I know. this account, what was it called? It was it was like Broadway Gossip Girl. I forget what it was called.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was but it was. It was like Broadway Gossip Girl essentially, and they posted that Blake and I were at a movie together and was wondering if we were dating.
Oh.
And so Remy showed it to us and I was like, "What is this?" And she was like, "It's like Facebook statuses, but that's it." And
that's
like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not going to take off. That's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, and our president tweets on a like 30-second basis.
Right.
Yeah.
That is crazy how it took off.
I know.
I have time hopping it. You know, do you have that app where it shows you?
When it like shows you what you didn't have just like 5 years ago, and you're like, what is going on? Or how bad your iPhone photos were just like even like 2 years ago.
Oh, blurred.
That is hilarious.
The most morphed images.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much to digest right now from everything that you just said. I need to mention as well that we actually saw you play Melchior not on Broadway. We saw you on Broadway as Hanschen.
Yeah.
But you then came in
to the national tour.
Wait, this is actually a funny story. We don't talk about this often.
Yeah.
This was crazy. The national tour was in Cleveland, which is where we grew up.
I did one night in Cleveland.
And we were there.
You. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. We saw you in it because we had bought tickets to... we saw it like earlier that week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how we went to this, but they did like a teen masterclass.
Yes.
And we went on, it was like a, we like skipped school. We left, or
we left school early.
Mm-hmm. And okay, I'm going to try to remember who led this masterclass. It was Christina Alabato.
Yes.
Still working.
Yes.
And then I would say the other names. It was Ben Moss.
Still working. Yep.
And then Matt Shingledecker and Gabby Garza. And I remember after it, they were like, everyone was walking up to the cast and they were like, oh my God, is it true? There's a rumor that Matt Doyle's coming in and Kyle Rabico's leaving. And Dylan and I were like, what's happening? And like everyone was like mobbing the
my
the,
God.
The
and
kids.
We pulled Matt Shingledecker aside and we're like, you need to tell us.
We're like, tell
exactly
us right now
what's going on.
We're like, our mother is waiting in a car outside and she's got a credit card.
Did I
card.
Meet you guys there? Because I think I stage door
you
there.
Did?
I'm sure
and
we did.
So
we,
crazy.
Did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. But we
oh
were like,
God.
We gotta see you. So we saw you as Melchior. You were
that's
wonderful.
Amazing. Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. It was just one night?
Yeah, no, I just did one night in Cleveland and then I did a couple cities after that with them because Kyle had to go away for... I think the story was
that he did a pilot.
I think he did do a pilot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So oh, I yeah. remember that pilot. It was like a singer-songwriter, you know,
yes.
wannabe Glee pilot.
Yes. Sounds like something
yes.
Kyle would do.
Yes, and he went and did that and they offered me to even stay on after that and I okay. decided not to and then Jake went in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm going to go do Bye Bye Birdie and also I've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it was just kind of my breaking point.
Wait, that's tea. They offered it to you.
Oh, yeah.
How wild.
I would have like, oh, done it. Yeah. Yeah. Jake Schwartz. I got it before you. Heaven forbid I say that.
Yeah.
Wow. No. I mean, I had been there. And so they were like, do you want to stay on? And I just kind of, I sent Michael an email and was just like, I don't think I can do it anymore. I'm so sorry. Because, you know, you watch that show as well when you're in it.
Right.
So I had seen Spring Awakening over 1,000 times at that point.
Oh, my God. You could probably have said every line.
I think so. But now I forget all of it. Like,
okay.
Andy Mantis is a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
And he was bringing up, like, the choreography that the Swings did on the side. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, I only did that over 1,000 times. So I have no idea. Yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
It was great. Well, you were so good in it.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, the impact that you had on us, it can't be ignored. So thank you for continuing to be just such a great role model.
That's so kind.
Yeah, because through us knowing you through Spring Awakening, we found Bear.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Which we were obsessed with.
Oh, my God.
We got like, it was a CD, but it came in like a DVD.
It was a DVD.
Yeah, the case that I remember, the case was a disaster.
It was.
Yeah.
But I guess there was a DVD component.
There was, which is why they did it that way.
It was called Navigate
This Maze, The Making of Bear.
And we forced our friends to watch it with us on a Saturday night. And what's crazy about all of this, we were 15 at the time, fully closeted. I mean, glass closeted.
Yeah.
And in the musical is about closeted gay teens. And there's other people as well, but no one thought
no
that was weird.
No one said to us, are you guys gay?
Are you kidding? I have so many of those like growing up where I look back and I'm like, you didn't, you weren't like circling back to that, you know?
did you were you able to like reference those when you came out?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, for my mom and my dad, when I like look back on everything, it was kind of just like, well, duh, you know?
Yeah.
When did you come out?
I came out to my mom when I was 16, but my father and I, and he's fine with me saying this, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't, but my father and I took a long time. My dad, was very, very conservative and had very conservative values. And, I was publicly out before I finally had the conversation with my dad.
Okay.
Just because it was too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a lot of disappointment from my friends, especially within the theater community, that I had that kind of like thing at home.
Sure.
And, you know, my whole family knew, all of my friends knew. I never like, again, social media wasn't around, so I didn't like make a public statement. No one was asking, but like I was comfortable just being gay, you know.
Yeah.
I it wasn't a hang up for me. And I finally sat my dad down when I was 22, I think. So that much longer.
Wow.
And that's how long my parents just like didn't really discuss it. It was just not the house conversation.
Yeah.
And
hard.
It was. And it was really hard at first too, admittedly. But my dad works his love in mysterious ways, and he actually is in advertising, and a really beautiful story is about maybe a year and a half afterwards, we still weren't really talking.
Okay.
And we did, but we weren't close. And this Tiffany ad campaign had come out, and it was the first Tiffany engagement ad that was between two men.
Oh.
And I was, everyone was talking about it at work at a show I was doing, and I was like, that's so weird. My dad has Tiffany as a campaign. So I called him up and I was like, did you do this? And he was like, yeah. I was like, why didn't you tell me? And he was like, I didn't want you to think I was proving something. And I was like,
oh
yeah,
chills.
I know.
Beautiful.
It was so beautiful. And, you know, I always just say to people, anyone that really struggles with the at-home experience, I had the most liberal mother in the world. She's a flower child from the Berkshires, and a very conservative father. They were madly in love with each other, and they still are to this day. I have a lot of patience and also a lot of forgiveness for anyone that needs to take their time with it. And I always think back on how much I needed to take my time with it when I was figuring that out as a kid. So everyone's got their process. I don't blame anyone for not immediately being able to just like be there and be ready and be everything that their kid needs. It's hard and confusing. And,
it is.
And the world makes it even harder, especially, God, think about right now. It's just crazy.
I know. Well, I think that's really valuable.
Yeah.
Thanks
for sharing that, man.
Oh, God, absolutely.
I think that's important for people to hear.
Yeah.
It's true. It is a identity is such a process for everyone.
Yes.
You know, like, and that's why I hate when people are always like putting sexuality upon celebrities and like they're really, or like trying to get them to come out or, you know, because everyone is having their own, it's their own timeline. Like, think about how long it took me. Like, I knew I was gay.
Yeah.
Probably like 11 or 12.
I remember, and this is to no fault at all to Gavin, but I remember he came out, I think he was my age now when he came out with Jonathan.
Right.
Okay. And that was this big coming out, and Jonathan came out as well. And it was just kind of that happened in the Broadway community just 10 years ago. And now like I almost feel like it's almost an alarming amount of pressure, I think, to put on kids now coming straight into the Broadway community.
From the Jimmy Awards.
Yeah. Like, literally from the Jimmy Awards or from Carnegie Mellon, and with all this social media, to be like, you have to be as transparent as possible. And it's like, why don't we just let everyone work on their own time?
Yes.
Because that's brand new. Making everyone like, and I agree, like, I think it's wonderful to be open. And the reason I am open is because I think about the confused kid in Ohio or God knows where, but like I also find that pressure that I think comes from maybe within our own community or maybe within just the social media era of like, you need to be totally transparent because you have a job as a swing on Broadway. Like, it's just kind of just like, everyone has their own process. Give them a break.
Yeah. God, I'm sure that was also so crazy as like the Spring Awakening cast, just like the wild hormones.
Oh,
like, people probably like, that was probably wild.
That was insane. Yeah. Always. It was always insane.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think this conversation about identity is so valuable. It's wonderful. I do want to take a little detour from
Absolutely.
Ask you
are you kidding? Yeah.
Matt, are you well?
I am well. Yeah.
Good.
Yes. I'm really well right now.
I love to hear it.
But wellness in like, especially, I don't know, in anyone's business, but especially in this absurd Broadway business, is a really hard thing to define, I think. But things are really good right now, and I think a lot of that has to do with just like wonderful people in my life and supporting me and lifting me up and making sure that I keep a lot of negativity out of it. But things are great. Yeah.
You also deleted Twitter, so maybe that helps
as
well.
I did delete Twitter. That was crazy. And every single person in my life was like, you're not going to do it. Like,
I always had thoughts on things. You were really good on... I always would look to see what you were posting.
You're
missed.
I went, I know.
But I'm not trying to tempt you back.
No, I went a little too far. My opinion, I'm very, very blunt, and always have been, because I just... That's just who I am. I'm loudmouth and I say everything that's on my mind. And as a result, I can get myself in trouble sometime. And in this absurd, and I really have an issue with it, like cancel culture that we live in right now, I just was like, I can't see that negativity as much anymore. It's exhausting to read every single day, but also I know that I am one tweet away from destroying my career. Like, I'm gonna say something that's insensitive somehow, and you know, and I didn't know that when I was really done with Twitter, and I'm sorry if there's any Satanists out there, but
not
I,
listening to the drama podcast.
I compared
to drama.
Maybe though.
You never know.
I know. I guess they've redefined Satan. So Satanism is actually like a really positive thing. Whatever. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah. I compared Trump to Satan because in my definition of Satan, it's that, you know, evil guy with devil horns down below.
Guy.
Yeah. And I had all these Satanists come after me and tell me that I had offended them and that, you know, I was misusing.
I can't.
So I was like, I think I'm done. Yeah. Like, I'm, because for like about 2 days, I had nothing but Satanists replying to me and like also retweeting me. And, oh, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, the world is really like, gotta take a step back right now.
And there's a difference between like PC culture and like this idea of like triggering people.
Yeah.
And everyone's so quick to be awful.
Right.
As opposed to like explaining something.
Right. And that's, and so the best I could do was just say back to them, like, because I genuinely meant this. Like, I certainly meant no offense. You know?
Right.
It was just based off of my understanding of the word, but also I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you're being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just go to bed, you guys.
I know. I think you made a smart decision to delete.
Yeah, I was just like, I gotta get off of it. Because also, I'm sure that I was a part of that cancel culture in a lot of aspects, too. And I would get very upset about certain things. And but, yeah, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the energy. And I will say that it has really helped my mental wellness. It really has.
I don't know if I could ever delete.
I know. Oh. Are you kidding? I was so addicted.
Yeah.
I still will look at it occasionally through the website, but I don't even have the app on my phone. But okay, I'll go to it if I'm like trying to, because I used to have favorites that I would follow. So if I wanted to see so-and-so's opinion on something that was happening.
Right.
Like, I mean, we're in the middle of an impeachment trial, so I've been very curious lately.
Of course. Yeah.
But I don't have the app. In fact, I was out with a buddy of mine the other night and he saw me doing the website and he was like, oh my God, you seriously don't have the app. I was like, I don't.
That's great.
Yeah.
But so you've been able to like focus your attention on your incredible Instagram.
Yes.
Yes, with your cute dogs.
I know. I do stories a lot. I need to post more. I just feel like there will be a lot going on soon. And right now I'm just like, I think tonight they put up the company marquee. And so I got some pictures.
Okay, good. You walked by. You walked past and everything.
I can't believe. Yeah.
Well, we have to talk about company.
Oh my God.
Can you believe?
I can't.
This is so exciting.
Yeah, it was really wild. The whole thing was just nuts.
How much are you allowed to say? Like, when did it come into your life? Because I remember
Known since July.
Oh, okay.
I have known since July. And yes, a year ago, I thought I was doing the Heart of Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Heart of Rock and Roll is fantastic. My favorite thing that people love to do to me is like the, oh, now you don't have to do the jukebox musical you were working on. And I'm like, if I was working on something at this point in my life, I promise you, if I hated it, I would not do it.
Yeah,
loved the Heart of Rock and Roll.
And I heard it was incredible.
It was a blast. And I think that there's so much to be said for a jukebox musical that does it well. And it really did. It was charming and had a lot of heart.
It's in the title.
Yeah, I know. But it also, like, the whole goal of it was to essentially be a Ferris Bueller's Day Off with Huey Lewis tunes.
Amazing.
And they totally like nailed that. They nailed the John Hughes vibe. And that's all it
needed.
Who
was the director?
Gordon Greenberg.
Okay.
Who did Holiday Inn. And
fun.
Yeah, he's the best. And he's just totally the right guy for it because he brought that kind of just very, very silly, fun, whimsical kind of attitude to this like bro comedy otherwise, you know?
Yeah.
It was the right mix. And I had a blast working on it and it didn't get a house this year. I think it's coming in next year.
Okay, cool.
But I just found out that we did not get our house and was told... Also, their auditioning company and Marianne, who's a dear friend of mine
from
Warhorse, would like to see you. And at that point, I was like, I'm not going to text Marianne or email her or do anything because if she does not want to see me, because for about a month at that point, people were going in.
Okay.
And I thought, if she doesn't want to see me, that's fine. She knows me better than anyone as an actor, so she probably just doesn't think I'm right for it. And sure enough, she wanted to see me for Paul. And I said, I'll come in. I know you're going to cast like a big name to play Jamie because, you know, Jonathan Bailey did very well by it. And I'm sure you're going to bring in everyone in the world for it. But personally, I think I'm more of a Jamie, and I just don't want to waste anyone's time. I just don't see myself as Paul. I don't really give that kind of like caretaking energy. And she said, no, you should come in for Paul. And so I went in and I sang, today is for Jamie. And within like 30 seconds, I see Marianne turn to Joel, the music supervisor, and just start whispering. And I knew it was coming. And she turns and she goes, Matt, oh God, you're a Jamie. Can you read for Jamie? And I was thinking like, oh yeah, sure, I'll come back. Mm. And she was like, do you mind learning It's Not Getting Married? And I go, right now? Oh. And she was like, yeah, just a verse of it. And I was like, in the room right now? And I said, I'll kill you, but sure, let's do that.
Like one of the most difficult patter songs.
Yes.
Like,
so I started to learn the patter song right there. And they turned to me and they were like, okay. We'll bring you back, essentially, is the attitude I got from everyone. And so I left the room thinking, well, I'll go back like next week, mm-hmm. you know, and isn't it nice that I at least get to read for something I'm right for, not mm-hmm. thinking anything of it. And my agent called me and said, you have 24 hours to learn that song and the material. And the sides are also like, for that role, it's the scene, which is just rambling. I mean, just a full panic attack monologue.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. And it was Max's opening, my partner's opening in Moulin Rouge. And I looked at him later. And I was like, I can't come. I have to.
Oh yeah, right.
Not
right.
Even because I thought like, oh, I'm gonna book this or I have a good chance. It was just like, I love Marianne too much to do bad work in front of her mm-hmm. and to do lazy work in front of her. So I went home and I was up learning that material until like 4 or 5 in the morning, until my eyes were like actually just mm-hmm. closing on me and like about to cry. Went Aww. To bed, woke up at 10, had the audition at noon, and I was in the room for almost an hour.
Wow.
And that's the longest audition I've ever had. It felt more like a rehearsal process. And I left and I was like, that went really well. That's odd. And I got an email from Marianne immediately that was like, that was so much fun, love you. And I was like, what does that mean?
Oh my God.
I was like, is that good? And my agent sent me a text that was just like, they really loved you. You're definitely in the running. We'll keep you posted. We won't know for a bit. And I was like, oh, okay. Wow. So I'm like up for this. And apparently everyone knew at that point. They just needed Sondheim to sign off.
Oh.
He didn't like watch the tape and sign off for another like 5 days.
Oh shoot.
So, yeah. Sondheim. Everyone was sitting on it. And my agent just told me recently that like everyone knew, and there were other actors that even knew. And he was telling everyone like, you cannot let Matt know.
Oh my
because
God.
Also, well, imagine, how tragic would it have been if like Sondheim was like, no.
Yeah.
So thank God he said yes.
Yeah. Had you met Sondheim before?
I had, yeah.
Because it's for Sweeney?
Sweeney. Okay. Yeah, he was actually really involved on Sweeney Todd. He loved the production so much. He was a big part of it coming over, and he was there constantly. And so, yeah, I would sing Joanna to him. And one night he was in the seat that I interacted with, because there were like seats that we always would pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was there where I would normally like grab the guy's shoulder, the male or female's shoulder, and shake it. And I was like, well, might as well. And so I like sang Ah Miss to him and shook his shoulder, and I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
This
oh my God.
So
this
surreal.
Is your life.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Outrageous.
So many crazy things that you just said, though.
I know.
Oh my God. Company's going to be great. I cannot wait to see you in it.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm so overwhelmed.
Are you?
It came out of nowhere,
as I kind of said. Yeah,
I mean,
true.
My show essentially like didn't get its house in the same week that I then got this absurd Broadway job that I was not even thinking about, like in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I'm sure you dreamed of being Bobby at some point.
Yes.
Right? You know?
In fact, like I'd started, I feel like the transition for a lot of young actors is to say like, oh, I want to be this role or this role. And then all of a sudden the roles get older and all of a sudden you start saying, I want to do Bobby and Company. And that's when you're like, oh, I've made it to my 30s.
Yep, you're in your 30s.
So I had like started saying that to people like, oh, that would be a great role to play. And but I certainly never dreamt of playing Amy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think I would have known that song.
Right. Yeah,
but
right.
I didn't know a word of it. I mean, I'd been impressed by it before,
yeah,
but
sure.
I'd never, ever taken a moment to learn even like Part of Me Is Everybody There. I was like fresh eyes to that piece.
I cannot wait to hear you sing it.
I'm so excited.
I know, I do think like, you'll be amazing. Like the tone of your voice is going to be so, oh, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, thanks, guys. Oh, and, well, I do have the anxiety for it.
Sure. And the whole cast is just rounding out. Like, I think they just announced the final piece of the puzzle, and it's going to be a great.
I'm so excited.
She was in Beautiful, right?
She was, if she, yes.
Okay.
So
we can cut that.
She's spectacular. The whole company is amazing. I'm just blown away. I can't believe it.
And oh,
just
how fun.
To share the stage with Patti LuPone.
I know.
It's so outrageous.
Yeah.
But can I talk about how excited I am to see Katrina Lenk do this?
Oh my God. Like, I know.
So she's such a creature in all the roles that she's done so far, and so captivating and spectacular. Mm-hmm. But I feel like no one's really seen her, at least in New York, just walk on and be herself and be a person and be totally human.
100%.
You know, like, I mean, God, she was so human in Band's Visit, but you know what I mean? Just in terms of like, I have not seen just Katrina talk to me, you know, as Katrina. And I'm so excited to see her do that as Bobby and just be this relatable, like, person that I think she really, really is. I mean, because if you ever have a conversation with her, she's so down to earth, lovely, quirky, flirty.
I can't wait
to see her be that, you know?
I didn't even know, like, until she accepted the Tony.
Yeah.
If she had an accent or if she, like, what her
whole
deal was.
Because we had just seen her as these, I mean, even in Spider-Man, she was this, like, interesting dark villain, you know, and it's so.
Oh yeah,
I think we were first introduced to her with Indecent.
Oh yeah,
which was just incredible. And then,
oh my God.
And then essentially, kind of the same like genre of character. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Band's Visit,
and she was so in her body in that role. So,
yeah, I remember that's what you and my boyfriend Hunter kept saying.
Oh my God,
she was just so like, her chopping the watermelon is something I'll never forget.
Yes,
that was iconic. And now she's gonna be flailing all over the stage and it's going to be an incredible production. Did you see it in London?
I didn't. And I've had a couple people like, oh, I've got bootlegs. I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea for me to watch. Marianne, one of the things that I so admire about her, and even though it must be very, very difficult for a lot of actors, she does not like to bring anyone over from her productions, and she's always kind of been a stickler about that. She talked about doing it with Luke Treadaway from War Horse to Here, who did it in the original company there. He also did Curious Incident over there, and she didn't bring him over only because she just likes to build things from the ground up with a new group of people.
Sure.
And so that's always been her attitude, and it's good. It creates an environment that we are creating something new rather than we're stepping in for other people. And so
I like that.
But it must be very strange, like, for the actors that leave it behind.
Right.
So I do have sympathy for that, because having originated some things, it's very hard to leave it and be like, all right, this is yours now.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm sure. So, yeah. Wow, well, we're excited. It's going to be...
I know, I can't wait.
It's probably one of my most anticipated, if not the most anticipated show of the spring.
I can't believe it.
It's an incredible season. So now, you mentioned earlier Max.
Yes.
You have this loving partner.
I hate him. He's a horrible person.
Wait, how did you guys meet?
Yeah, we love him. He was amazing in Moulin Rouge. Well, I mean, we've seen him in like everything, though.
He's done everything.
So he's done 7 Broadway shows, and he's 28.
Oh my God.
I'm 32, so I'm robbing the cradle.
Oh my God, stop.
We met actually not through the business at all. We met standing in line at a Starbucks, and I said hi to him because I felt like I'd be rude if I didn't. It was that kind of a thing. Like, I recognized him enough that I was like, I should say hi.
Yeah.
Max knows this now, so he will not be hurt by this, but I didn't think more of it. Like, I just said hi. I wasn't flirting, but he thought I was.
Did you think he was cute?
Yeah, I guess. I really was not in that mind space at all.
Which Starbucks was it?
It was the New World Plaza Starbucks, everyone. That's where Max Clayton and I met. But I wasn't flirting. And I he's a very handsome man, but I wasn't... It really was not on my mind. I was a mess during that time, and emotionally so. And so he reached out to me through email. He got my email from a mutual friend, and I said no.
Oh my God, no way.
Because I was seeing someone else at the time, like, just casually dating, yeah. But, like, I don't know how to date two people at once, and then that guy stood me up, and so I reached out to Max. This is true, and this makes me sound horrible, but you have to understand, I'm usually the most romantic person in the world. This was the place that I was in my life at the time. I got stood up about 2 weeks later by this asshole that I was seeing, and Max was so kind in his original email. So I think I wrote him, "Hey, I was just stood up. You certainly seem like a really lovely guy. Do you still want to go out on a date?"
Oh my God.
And he wrote back, "Wow, that's an introduction." And he was like, "You know what? Sure, let's do it."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then we went out, and obviously it went well.
Yeah, how many years have you guys been together?
4 years now. Over 4 years, yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
Congratulations.
That's cute. Yeah. He's adorable.
He's the best. We keep each other... we're definitely we balance each other out big time.
What's
Max
his sign?
Is oh gosh, he was born September 19th, so what does that make
I
him?
I think he's a Virgo.
Okay, I should know that. I'm so bad about
I'm
that
not
stuff,
really into
guys.
It either. I mean, I
I'm
know
a Taurus
things.
I know
you're
that.
A Taurus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very anxious. I have a horrible anxiety disorder, and Max is one of
Same.
The calmest, like, sanest, happiest people in the world.
Aww.
And so I kind of bring him back down to earth. I hate to be the negative, but I kind of am in a good way. I bring him back down to earth in a lot of aspects and kind of get him to focus and consider things, and then he makes me very happy.
Aww.
And so, like, we find, like, this really, really great balance in each other that really works, and...
Oh, that's amazing.
He's so ridiculously talented, too.
He is. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For real.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys are so cute.
He's the best. I do. I love him so much.
And have you guys ever been on Broadway at the same time?
No, we
so
have
this
not.
Is, this is
yeah,
exciting.
I haven't been on Broadway in our relationship because
okay.
I've been doing
yeah.
so many, like, I mean, if... certain things feel like it, like the Sweeney Todd that was at
mm-hmm.
the Barrow Street. Just
it felt like
it was so, you know, Sondheim was there every night. But
yeah.
no, I have not had a Broadway show since the Book of Mormon. So
okay,
I'm
yeah.
so excited to get to say that I'm not done with Broadway. that I'm not canceled.
I forget that you did the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
You're not canceled. Oh my God.
You're never. No,
you're
never.
Always around.
I know. I try to stay in.
Well, because you do so many concerts and,
right,
and you
right.
have your music.
That's been a huge plus. When people are like, how do you survive, like, if I'm not doing a show, mm-hmm. I'm like, I do symphonies, man.
Yeah.
And they are lifesavers.
Oh,
they
I'm
pay
sure.
very well, and yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great little circuit to get into, and so I've been fortunate enough to do the symphony gigs for a while now.
Well, you yeah. have the most gorgeous voice.
Oh,
and like, I can hear you, like, doing like West Side Story and things like that with a symphony.
You.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's sweet. My God.
Okay, wait. We need to ask
yes.
a question here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so. We can edit, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I talk so much.
Oh my God.
So,
no,
this is great.
Great. Okay, so in the musical Fun Home,
yeah.
there's a song
yes.
about total identification called Ring of Keys.
Yes.
And in her Tony's acceptance speech, Janine Tesori stated her Ring of Keys moment was seeing a woman conducting Lena Horne's Broadway Revue, and she suddenly realized that a career in the music industry was possible for a
wow.
woman. I know, isn't that great? Now, when it comes to being in the theater industry,
yeah.
do you feel like you have a Ring of Keys moment? Or even just understanding that, wow, pop culture... art, that's something I want a piece of
I had
in
a
my life.
Few because I had a few that I was thinking about in terms of this question, and I when it comes to like at home Ring of Keys moment, the first time I knew I wanted to be a singer was when I heard Sam Cooke's voice. He's my favorite singer of all time, and my dad was a big fan of his and played me his records when I was a kid. But my Ring of Keys moment is so cliche and basic that I am just going to say it. I saw the original Company of Rent when I was like 11 years
oh,
old.
Oh,
an
love
incredible
that.
Ring of Keys moment.
And I, you know, for my generation to say Rent was my Ring of Keys moment mm-hmm. is like, are you kidding? It's kind
it's
of like
Sing
yeah,
Wicked.
Or Spring Awakening. Or like, you know,
yeah.
it's the big musical. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the one. Yeah. So I understand that. Please know that I understand that. But it was. Without question. I was like 11 years old and I saw the original Company. I was at the time it was a very racy show and I was probably
oh,
too
yeah.
young to be seeing it, quote unquote, but
it was on Broadway.
It was on Broadway
okay.
and I saw Adam Pascal and I saw Anthony Rapp. To be around that energy on stage, which really hadn't been done in that way ever, I was I was blown away, and I absolutely like started auditioning for shows right after that, the local community theater stuff back home. And yeah, it was totally like, oh, I want to do that. That is the most exciting thing I've ever felt. You know, I didn't know that theater could be that, because my only exposure to theater before that was like, I think, a touring company of Cats and North Shore Music Theater. Okay. Like, and not, they're all great, don't get me wrong, but like, there was something so just electric and absolutely mind-blowing about Rent, especially when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, to like exposed to, oh my God, just like the very, very opening of it, I was like, this is real? You can do this? Yeah. I'm very proud of it.
I love that.
I am a Rent head through and through, and it got me into theater. And I know them all now, and that's like unbelievable. Say. Like, Anthony is a friend of mine now, and like, I've gotten to look them in the eye and just say like, hey, just so you know, like, that was really like a really big deal for me. And I know it's a big deal for a lot of people. I saw it 23 times. I've met people that have seen it over like hundreds of times.
Wow.
But like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was a big fan, you guys.
I love that. So would you do like, because you know, Rent is what everyone says like pioneered the like the lottery or the Rush tickets. Did you ever do the camping out overnight? You were young.
I did the lottery in San Francisco for the tours with friends you know, in high school. So, but I obviously, it was way too young to do it here. My parents had tickets, so that's how I saw it here. But for the tours that came through, I think the last time I lotteried was for a non-equity tour, and I was like 18. I was like, it's not the same anymore. You know, like, bless those actors, so but it definitely felt like different, you know. And then I came back here and got to see it a couple times before it closed, and
many amazing people were in it.
So many unbelievable
years, you know?
People.
I'm shocked you were never, would you say you're more of a Mark or a Roger?
Well, according to the casting, I think I would have ended up in the Mark pool.
Okay, I was
a kid still. Yeah. And because even when I was like, Adam Kander's a dear friend of mine, and actually we had a little romantic adventure together during that time.
Oh, fun.
So I dated a Mark, you guys.
haven't we all?
Every Rent.
I know, right? Haven't we all dated a Mark? every gay man's dated a Mark. That's true.
I think so, right?
I think that's like just the rite of passage.
I don't make the rules. Yeah. It's just true.
And but I looked like a Bambi. Like, I just didn't look like I belonged in the world of Rent ever.
Was this when you were on Gossip Girl?
Yeah, those years. Yeah, it was because it was the closing cast of Rent.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's when we saw it.
It was the final Mark.
We actually saw Rent.
He hates me so much for saying this.
Oh, my God.
If he ever hears that, he's going to be like, Jesus Christ, Matt. Because I love telling people that, and it always gets back to him, and he's like, yes, why? Hi. Yes, we did. We dated.
We saw that company of Rent and Spring Awakening in the same summer trip to New York once. That's when we saw you with Hanshin. It was all.
Oh, my God.
Were you dating him at that point?
Yes. I mean, we dated for like 4 months.
Okay.
It was very short-lived. But at the time, you know, like early boyfriends, 4 months seems like the most major thing.
You gotta celebrate each milestone.
Yeah. I feel it. Like month milestones.
I feel very, very attacked right now, honestly.
That's literally done.
No, that's anyways, carry on.
Is it wild and hard dating in the theater industry? Like, did you tend to date a lot of actors?
I do, and I
guess you do now.
Yeah, I think I've always dated actors, and it's something that I've always tried to get away from actively. The biggest thing, after I had a very serious relationship before Max, and it was a lot of heartbreak and everything, and so after that, I promised myself, like, do not date another actor. And in fact, like, speaking of directors of Rent and Spring Awakening, both of them said to me, you have to date anything but an actor.
Okay.
And so that was like in my head, like my dads of musical theater were telling me, like, you cannot date an actor. And I remember Michael Mayer called me up and said, how are you, one day? And it was about like maybe 6 months into dating Max. And I said, oh, good. And he was like, are you dating anyone? Because he had been trying to get me to date doctors. And I tried the doctor thing, fucking hated it. Tried the lawyer thing, hated it. Like, I was like, yes, people with money that can take care of me, that don't belong to my world. I hate it. Just awful people.
What did you talk about?
didn't talk about anything. And also just awkward souls that, like, I couldn't get to know them. And maybe that sounds horrible, but like actors are a very specific breed, and I wear everything like just like my heart is on my sleeve. Like, yeah. And it's hard, I think, for actors to date outside of their business just because we're so used to being like rolling around on the floor with each other and like getting to know each other completely day one and then more from there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I had a hard time with it, and Michael called me up, said, are you dating a woman? I said, yes. And he said, is it an actor? And I said, yes. And he was like, then I don't approve. But I think he's since then also seen that we stayed together and also met Max, and everyone that meets Max is like, oh, okay.
That's, I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't think we've met Max.
Yeah.
Never.
He's lovely.
We'll have to, yeah.
But yeah, it's been, other actors, it was hard. The biggest thing is everyone knows your business. So Max and I try to stay, even though I'm being very lovey-dovey about him right now, we try to stay pretty private about other aspects of our life. Just because my last relationship, I felt like everyone knew every detail. And so it was very strange when it came to an end. And that's hard about it. And also, I being with someone that you compete with is like a big no for me.
Okay. Like if you're the same type, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I had a boyfriend once that we were in final callbacks for a Broadway show together, and it was just down to us two.
Oh, no.
We had to leave the apartment to work on our audition material. Yeah. So that's a big no.
Nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the actor's nightmare.
Yeah. It really
the gay actor's nightmare.
And it just like happened. And all of a sudden I realized what I was in. And it was just like, yeah, that was a terrible idea. But Max, like, we're both so supportive to each other to begin with, but also we do such wildly different things.
Right, right.
And are such wildly different people that even if we were up for the same role, it would be like, well, they're definitely going one way versus the other. Yeah. You know? He is like, I don't know. I always say, apparently this is insulting, but I'm like, he's like Clifford the Big Red Dog or something. Like, he's just like this lovely giant
That's
puppy.
What I think. I mean, he's a presence.
Yes, exactly.
For sure.
And I'm like, I don't know, like aging Bambi. So.
Oh my God, stop. And you've obviously seen Moulin Rouge.
I have.
Yeah.
Multiple
and
times.
And he's incredible.
Yeah. He's amazing.
He is.
He's so talented.
Oh my God.
He's just a joy to work with. And it's so nice to be with someone that everyone like is excited to tell you that like they work with and love. Yeah. And yeah, he's definitely like a very, very positive presence in my life.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah.
That's so
Wait,
nice.
Okay. I have to go back to Bear for a second.
Yes.
Because I was obsessed with it. And we started to talk about it earlier. And we
I know.
Away.
No worries.
What was that experience like for you? How did you get involved?
It wasn't good. If I can be completely honest, what's been good is the fans. And what's been good is the post-experiencing. And in the era of Me Too, it's kind of my my dark moment that I don't really speak about and certainly didn't then and now go, well, no, I was really actually harassed in that. In the creation of that. And it was really unfortunate. And so I look back on it in a very negative light, but I'm very, very, very grateful for the people that it's touched, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so sorry about that, man.
Hey, I just like, I'm happy I can speak about it now.
Yeah.
And I think that it is something to be able to talk about right now, especially where people are kind of admitting to things that they maybe buried before and held a lot of, I held a lot of anger towards it because it was damaging in a lot of sense and some of the things that happened. And so I'm really learning to be grateful for what the piece has done for other people. And that is, like I said, it's the most important.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Matt, you are so like composed and
you are
brave. I mean, I just appreciate you sharing that. I feel like the Me Too movement, in a way, like theater, it never like, because remember there was that whole thing where there was supposed to be a big New York Times piece and it was going to be like the bombshell and then it just disappeared.
Yeah,
and it's almost like something that is still not as acknowledged as it is in film and television.
Especially, I love the gay community so much. I can't even say it, like how much I love it. But I do think that it's an issue in the gay community of things not being said still, you know,
definitely.
There's still a lot of harassment and I think we have to start to, I'm so blunt that I certainly like deal with it pretty dead on when mm-hmm. it happens to me. But like, I do find a lot of concern sometimes, not necessarily within the Broadway industry. I haven't experienced a lot of it there. I just express my story. But sometimes I see things that, you know, if it was a man and a woman, I don't know if that would have gone down. You know?
Well, that's tea. Yeah.
And I think we have to really start thinking about that and watching ourselves and how we conduct ourselves and the power that we might have and really reconsidering how we use that against other people.
Wow. Matt, you are so wise.
Oh. I know.
And this is like,
please.
I feel like I'm transported right now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're kind of coming up on
absolutely,
the end.
Of course. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm so sad. I feel like I still have so many questions.
I know.
Yeah, always so many things. Know. Oh my God. We like to end on a dose of drama.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. So this is everyone's chance to end on a dramatic note. And we like to share the drama in our hearts, whether it be, you know, a train we may have missed by mere seconds, a Broadway show that's being evicted from its theater, running into someone who you know recently unfollowed you on Instagram, T, or truly anything that you could be excited about or anything that's going on. Are you feeling dramatic today? What is your dose of
drama? Oh, I think the Beetlejuice stuff is such bullshit.
I know.
Oh my God. It makes me so mad. I text Brightman. You know, I've known Alex Brightman since we were 17 years old, and we did the Tisch Summer High program together.
Wow.
Him, Juan Torres Falcon, who did Kinky Boots, and Ro, who's now going to be the lead in Diana the Musical. We were all roommates.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And, and here we are today.
Greenlight the pilot.
I know, right? I literally love Alex, and I cannot express how much I enjoyed Beetlejuice.
Same.
What a wonderful escape, and what a great night. And it's been this fantastic thing to watch in terms of their success story,
right.
Like, because it's proven every producer theory wrong,
right.
You know, about how a show succeeds, and boy does it have everything to do with word of mouth, and no one trusts that anymore.
I know.
And it's so nice to see Beetlejuice just like come back fully, and to see them now get evicted because of some stupid clause in their contract.
Right.
I know.
It's infuriating.
It really is.
And it feels wrong. And I really hope that they're able to secure another theater. I know how difficult that's going to be.
I know.
But it would be a shame to watch that show go out when they're selling out, because that's a lot of jobs. And a lot of people that are losing their job because of a really unfortunate situation.
A really unfortunate situation.
It is drama.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
And what a great company. Oh my God.
I know. We were just saying the other day, I really want to go back to see Will. Is it Will Bloom?
Will Blum. So he was one of my first Cunninghams. And
he's
so outrageously talented.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's so good. I have to see him play this
role.
He's
so good.
Yeah.
I have to go. We've got to go back.
My queen, Carrie Butler.
Yes.
Who I just love and everything.
I know.
Leslie Kritzer.
I don't know. I walked into it with no expectations. I was excited to see Brightman, obviously, because I think he's so ridiculously talented.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I was going to get. I was such a big fan of the movie, so I was like a little nervous.
Yeah.
And I had the best time.
Yeah.
The best time. And that's the thing. Like, Timbers, I said it the other day to someone, but like, Timbers put up two just like wonderfully fun shows on Broadway this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful for escapism right now and to do it so successfully. I just think it's a shame. We should not lose that show.
Yeah.
Save Beetlejuice.
That's a true dose of drama.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh my God. What about you, Connor?
Oh my God. Okay. My dose of drama is that it has taken me 2 months to finish a single season of Schitt's Creek because I'm just so busy and I enjoy this show. And related to Schitt's Creek, I did not love the first two seasons.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, you got to keep watching.
You got to keep watching. Yeah.
Watch season 3, was obsessed.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board now. I think it's one of those shows
that found its groove.
It found its groove. And once you fall in love with the characters, you fall in love with it. But it took me forever to get into it. And I have like literally an episode and a half left of season 5.
And you're just swamped.
I'm swamped. There's too much content. There's too much content. There's too much content.
But I know that feeling. Parks and Rec is like my absolute favorite show. I talk about it way too much. And I can't watch the first six episodes because I'm like, oh, they didn't know the show they were doing yet. And then right, like start of season two, they were like, we got it. Uh-huh. But it's very bizarre when they haven't really figured that out with a show.
It is weird. But I guess it's nice, though, that the show's got a chance to figure it out. Like for Parks and Rec and Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
I think about other shows that are just canceled after a season or two. And it's like, no, some shows can get better.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because the chemistry is there. They just haven't figured out the world yet or vice versa.
Well, who was that guy in season one of Parks and Rec? Mark something? This character
Mark
was
Brandanowitz.
Mark Brandanowitz.
And then, he was gone by the end of season two.
Okay, that's what it was.
Because they were just like, oh, we have to restructure everything.
Yeah. And it worked for the best.
Oh,
that he was
my gone. Gosh. Could you imagine if Adam Scott wasn't on that
I
show?
Know.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Ben and Leslie? I would have, I mean, that's my everything.
Yeah. So
I'm due for a rewatch of that.
My issue with Parks and Rec is that I binged it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, over the course of, like, a month to catch up with the final season when it aired.
Yeah.
And I don't remember half of the things that happened.
You gotta do it.
People will reference, they'll be like, oh, remember when Aubrey Plaza and Chris Pratt did this? Or I'll be like, I don't remember that at all. But
it's
hilarious. I'm sure it was funny.
Yeah.
That's a great show.
So good. But no, I feel that way about Schitt's Creek. I actually had a hard time in the first season. I slipped into it by the second
you
season.
You did? Okay.
I will say. But
it's worth it.
It is. It is. And then, yes, I think season three is the best season, actually.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was my fave.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
There's that episode where Ted, they're like trying to get these rabbits adopted. And Ted, they have this live stream going and he's like stripping on this live stream. I was dying.
Yes.
In more ways than one.
She is Moira.
Oh, my God.
She's magnificent.
Truly.
Oh, yeah. She is a goddess.
Yeah.
I love her.
Everything she does.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice connection right there.
She was in
Beetlejuice. Home Alone.
Go. Tying it all together.
She's a legend for
Home
sure.
Home Alone, man.
Home Alone.
Speaking of content, I'm telling everyone to watch this because it's as lame as those like VH1 specials, but it is so addicting and so good. And I learned so much. Watch The Movies That Made Us on Netflix and watch it. They have a Dirty Dancing, a Home Alone, a Ghostbusters, and a Die Hard.
Okay.
And they are so good and gave so much insight to these movies that I grew up in love with. Like, I did not know all the drama behind Dirty Dancing.
Oh my
God.
You
need to watch it because I love Dirty Dancing.
You have to watch it. It's unbelievable. I learned, like, our business is just insane.
Oh my
our
God.
Industry. But it is, yeah.
And Die Hard, is it a Christmas movie?
I think it is now.
In the spirit of Christmas, right? You know, we're in the Christmas season. I know you love Christmas,
yes.
Matt. Yeah, you have a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Shameless plug available
Thank
on
you.
Them. Yeah.
Whoever find music is whole.
Yeah.
I have never seen Die Hard, but that's like one of those great debates of like who shot first. Like the
Absolutely.
You know, like, oh my God.
It absolutely
and it is.
A
okay.
Music
All right.
Movie.
Well, we'll have to watch it this year then.
So I just saw it for the first time this past week.
Oh, nice.
Because I watched the movies that made us and saw the Die Hard episode and was like, this actually seems like a good movie because growing up, I thought it was not the movie that little Matt Doyle would be watching.
Gosh,
I was not into action movies yet outside of like Star Wars and really nerdy shit. And so I like was like, I always just thought it was like this bro action movie.
Yes, that's
and
what
it
I
is,
think of. That's what I think
but it's
of.
Really smart and really good. And there's like Christmas elements to it. So yes, it is a Christmas movie, damn it.
That's great.
Well, we'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yo,
we'll have to watch
it's
it.
So fun. It's yeah. so great.
So would you say your dose of drama is the Broadway theater eviction or did you come with a different dose of drama in general?
Oh gosh, I would say that my dose of drama is the Broadway theater eviction.
Yeah.
Also, my other dose of drama, I have to say, and I'm going to say it now, as even though I am in a competing Broadway revival, everyone needs to stop outrage culture before a show is even frickin' mounted.
Amen.
I hear West Side is great. Mm-hmm. I hear it's really exciting. I hear the changes are really interesting, and that is the production that they're doing.
Yeah.
Can we all just calm down and let these actors do their jobs and see what they come up with? Because now everyone's coming out of the theater just in two previews saying, oh, it was so great.
Right.
Gee.
I know.
Just let people do their work. Calm the fuck down.
Yes.
I know.
That's right.
I know.
I'm so over it.
Somebody
like tweeted at company recently, like, oh, these more characters should have been gay or something. I'm like, oh my gosh. Everyone just like go see it.
Yes.
Before
yes.
you read about mm-hmm. it, just go see it. See if that works for you. If it doesn't, great. Have an opinion off of that. But like, that's my drama is let a show go up. Let a show be revived. Do what it wants. See if you like it. If you don't, that's fine.
Uh-huh. Amen. I love that. I'm with you.
Wait, Matt is so... This is like what I picture you when you would like rage tweet about things.
It's actually exactly how
so Matt Doyle saying calm the fuck down might be the title of the episode. Yeah. With an asterisk. With
an
asterisk.
Calm the fuck down. That's like yes. My general feeling. Like outrage culture is just so overwhelming that people are... taking down a show before it's even up.
Yes.
There's other elements of outrage around that show that I think are fair.
Yes, I know. And we know those
and
ones.
We know what yes. those are. And that you can go off on that all you want. Mm-hmm. I understand. But if you're talking about the actual show and what they're putting together, mm-hmm. just go see it before you even post about it. How
yes.
about that?
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Yeah. We sat in this very room and recorded an episode where that was my dose of drama that people were freaking out about it.
Just
yeah. And it's just like, come on.
If you haven't seen it, I understand if you saw it and you're like, and yes, those cuts are still so egregious to me. The presentation is still so not West Side. Anything that you want to say about it then, if you're still triggered mm-hmm. and bothered. But I have not seen it yet, and I'm really excited to see it.
Same. Me too.
And
same.
See what I like or dislike about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, gee, like we're supposed to.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's.
I'm sick of being told how to feel about things before I.
Everything is so
you know?
Subjective, too. Like,
truly.
There are shows that I've been told are genius, mm-hmm. and I go to see them, and they're not for me.
Absolutely.
Oh, well.
It goes
but I'm
always.
Not
to
like.
Okay.
Yes, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Anyways, that's
great.
Oh, my God. Well, we can't wait to see you in company.
Yes,
Matt,
guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this
oh
was
God.
A dream come true.
Oh,
this was a dream come true.
I know,
this
for real.
So sweet. I'm sorry I rambled so much.
No, oh, my God.
This is like 5 hours long?
No,
oh my
no.
God, no. But make sure to follow Matt on
Instagram. Not Twitter.
Matt F. Doyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And follow me at Dylan McDowell.
And me at Connor McDowell. And
Yay.
Follow at The Drama Podcast.
That's right.
On
That's
Twitter.
Right.
Twitter and Instagram.
This episode is going to be coming out on Wednesday.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very timely.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, you know, Connor and I and our dear friend Danny DiMarino, who's a very good friend of
yeah.
this podcast. We have followed your career forever, and Danny's going to freak out when he hears
yes.
this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Thank
Danny.
You for continuing so just to be a source of positivity and groundedness, which is key.
Thank you, you guys.
And just yeah. and you know, we can't wait to see you in company.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you
yes.
so much. I'm so overwhelmed about the year ahead, and it's nice to have this moment with you guys before it all starts.
Oh, thank you. Thanks yeah. so much. And Connor, we'll see you next time.
Drama.